Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I want you to know that you're not alone. You can always go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on our prayer concerns and write up a prayer, and our prayer team will pray for you. And we'll respond if you want a response. We started 2021 doing a series on the big Bible stories of the Old Testament. And I titled this whole series, God With Us. And for our Lenten series, we're continuing to look at God with us, but we're looking at some of the New Testament stories, the stories of the miracles of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you were going to use words to describe this past year, you might come up with words like hard or difficult, overwhelming, depressing, fearful, or fear-filled, or sad, disappointing, tough, challenging, crushing, frustrating, and frightening. They all fit. The past year has been a most difficult year for the entire world. COVID is real. The risks are real, and surviving the pandemic is real. I have a few questions to ask you today. Where do you find hope? Where do you find strength? Where do you find light in this darkness? Where do you find food for your soul? Where do you find faith? It's my prayer that as we walk to Jerusalem to experience the empty tomb, we will find faith along the way. The scriptures teach us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. As we have journeyed 2021 together, we have found faith in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have found faith in the lion's den with Daniel. We have found faith in the valleys that are filled with giants like David the shepherd boy faced. We found faith on the mountaintop when Elijah called down fire from heaven. And during the first week of Lent, we found faith when Jesus healed the paralytic lowered down through the roof by his friends. And if you were with us last week, we found faith with blind Bartimaeus crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Today, it's my prayer that we will find faith in the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. I have titled this message, Faith in a Feeding Frenzy. As I read the scripture, I encourage you once again to put yourself into the story. Are you one of Jesus' disciples that have been out recently performing miracles? Are you in the crowd? Do you need healing? Are you in the crowd because you just are simply curious? Or are you in the crowd just hungry for wisdom? One quick note. This miracle story, the feeding of the 5,000, is the only miracle that all four gospel writers recorded. Why? Why do all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell this story? John tells us that it was a little boy's lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and Philip was the one being tested. The other gospel writers tell us that it's the 12 who are the ones being tested. This is one of the last miracles recorded around Galilee before Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem and the cross. Why is this story in the Bible? I believe that it's to show us faith in trying times. It's there to help us to trust Jesus more. Before we turn to God's living word, let us come to the throne of grace and seek God's face and grace. God of all glory and grace, we come to you today to be filled with your bread of life, both in communion and in hearing the word. Jesus is the bread of life. Help us to hear your words of life today. Help us to walk by faith. Help us to trust you to provide and be sufficient. Help us to be satisfied with enough. Amen. Grab your Bible. We're in Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. When the apostles returned, They reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and unless we go and buy food for all of this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. When he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each," the disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. We're told that the apostles returned. That's how the story begins in verse 10. The apostles returned. Well, where did they return from? If we would read the first 9 verses of chapter 9, Jesus had sent out the 12 to heal the sick, cast out demons, and preach the kingdom of God. I wonder how difficult these times were when people lived under the strong arm of the Roman Empire. I wonder if they were frustrated and frightened. I wonder if they were tired of the tumultuous and uncertain times. This could be our story for us today. Listen closely. Why did Jesus previously send out his disciples to go out without him? We're told in verse 6 of Luke chapter 9 these words. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. And as those 12 arrived back to Capernaum, the home base of Jesus' ministry around Galilee, Jesus calls them to follow him out to a solitary place called Bethsaida. Just a few side notes. Bethsaida means house of fish, and it's the hometown of Peter and Andrew and Philip. They were all fishermen. Jesus did 7 miracles in this town. It was in Bethsaida where Jesus came along the Sea of Galilee and called Peter, Andrew, and Philip to follow him. 3 years later, there are 5,000 men plus women and children who are following Jesus. I'm sure that the disciples were tired from their recent road trip. The ministry of preaching and casting out demons and healing the sick can be exhausting. I'm sure they were anxious to tell Jesus all about the miracles that they had experienced. I am sure they were looking for a little peace and quiet, not looking for a crowd of people. Yep, ministry can be like that, where it's exhausting. I love the ending of verse 11, when Jesus saw the crowd following him. Listen again to verse 11. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. The Greek word for welcome is apodekomai, which means to receive, to willingly permit, to accept, and to gladly welcome. Friends, where are you in your walk with Jesus? From this story, we're learning that wherever we are, all we have to do is follow Jesus. Jesus will joyfully permit you to come to him. Jesus will accept you, receive you, and gladly welcome you. Maybe today is the day that you turn around and follow Jesus. Jesus will gladly welcome you. It does not matter what you have done or how broken you are. Jesus' arms are open wide and will gladly welcome you. In Mark's account, we're told that Jesus had compassion on them. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus has compassion on us and wants to heal us. I find it interesting that so many people go to see a doctor to ask the doctor to heal them physically. The doctor may recommend physical therapy. Some will go to the physical therapist and get healing for their broken bone or body. Others will not go to the physical therapist, and they walk around the rest of their life with a physical limp or disability. The Greek word used for healing in this verse is therapia. It's the same word that we get therapy from. Jesus was doing some amazing therapy that day. Now think of this. Someone might ask a person to go see a pastor or spiritual director for emotional and spiritual healing, yet they refuse. Being an ordained pastor for 23 years and a youth pastor for 17 years, I can tell you that people do not seek help right away. We go to the ER when a bone is broken, yet when our hearts are broken, we hobble around thinking it will heal on its own. We're told that the crowds came to Jesus to hear him and be healed by him. Hearing and healing. Jesus gladly welcomed them and gladly welcomes you and me. Jesus gladly welcomes us. Even if we're on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, we can still follow Jesus. Hearing and healing are ours still today. As we enter this story, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God and healing the crowd. It gets late in the afternoon. The sun is setting. The disciples are not had their alone time with Jesus. We're told by the good Dr. Luke that they asked Jesus to go tell the crowd to leave, go home, or go to a surrounding village to get some food. Do you get the idea? Go away. That's what the disciples are saying. Go away. But we miss the emphasis of the verb. The verb that the disciples use is send them away. It's an imperative verb. It's like a command. Can you imagine going to Jesus and commanding him to do something? It was not a suggestion. They were commanding Jesus, send them away. Wow. It was a command. Jesus, send them away. Go get so they can get some food. What were the disciples thinking? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We worship on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We're online at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. You can click online at 10 a.m. and join us. What were the disciples thinking? The verb send them away, it's an imperative verb. They were commanding Jesus. Now enter this story for a moment. These disciples had just experienced 3 years of miracles. The deaf were hearing, the dead were walking, the lepers were healed, the blind seeing, the miraculous catch of fish, storms were stilled, and demons were cast out. In fact, they had just spent time doing miracles themselves. Healings and casting out demons while they were teaching about the kingdom of God. As Jesus and the disciples were on their way to a quiet place, a crowd gathered and followed them. I am sure that the disciples were exhausted. I am sure that the idea of time away sounded like a fishing vacation, peaceful and quiet. But when Jesus saw the needs of the crowd, he had compassion on them and he welcomed them gladly and started to meet their needs. In contrast, the disciples saw the needs of the crowd. They wanted Jesus to send them away. Have you ever thought about that? Why did the disciples act this way? Was it their pride? Was it their faith? Was it their fear? Were they just exhausted? Jesus, we're tired, weary, exhausted. Just send them away. Let us get some sleep. Let us have some alone time. These 12 disciples had just returned from working miracles, casting out demons, and preaching under the power and authority of Jesus, and now they claim that they're too tired. They have no power to minister to a crowd that needed food. We can learn a great lesson here. The disciples did not look to Jesus or the power of God. They saw the problem, not the power of God. Am I preaching to you? They saw the problem. Oh, they saw the pandemic, but not the power of God. The only solution they could come up with, send them away. Buying and providing for the multitude was too overwhelming for them. Go away. Get your own food. I believe that Jesus wanted them to find something other than the world's ways to meet their needs. Let me say that again. I believe that Jesus wanted the disciples to find something other than the world's ways to meet their needs. Jesus wanted his disciples to call upon the power they had just depended on during their recent mission tour. Instead, they complained, "We cannot do such an impossible task." Where was their faith? Friends, time for me to start meddling and stop preaching. We have read this book called the Bible over and over again. If you've been with us since the beginning of the year, we have heard about the fourth man in the fiery furnace. We've heard about the angel in the lion's den. We have heard about how God helped David defeat a 9-foot-tall giant. And we've listened to how Elijah called down fire from heaven as he faced 350 prophets. We have listened to the faith of the four friends who brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. We have heard about the faith of blind Bartimaeus crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you know that faith comes by hearing the word? Remember that. When the storms of a pandemic, of a worldwide lockdown, a quarantine hit us, it is the time to stop looking out into the world and look to the cross to find our hope. Too often we look to the ways of the world to face our fears, our doubts, our despair, our depression, our frustration, and our hunger pains. We look to the works and the ways of the world. We just might have something in common with the disciples today. "I'm booked, Jesus. Send them away." Alexander McLaren, an old pastor and great theologian, said this: "It is often our God-given duty to attempt tasks to which we are conspicuously inadequate, in the confidence that he who gives them has laid them on us to drive us to himself, and there to find sufficiency. The best preparation of his servants for their work in the world is the discovery that their own stores are small." Oh, how I love that quote. Their own stores are small. You bet they are. Designed on purpose that way, friends. Think about recently at the Seed Christian Fellowship, the city department needed 88 pairs of shoes for children and youth in the community. And the director asked if the Seed Christian Fellowship could help. I put the email out, and do you know that we didn't just get 88 pairs of shoes for children and youth in the community who needed shoes? We got 98 pairs of shoes. 98 pairs. I think this is what Jesus was going to say: "You feed them." Jesus is sufficient. We're told that they found 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus asked the crowd, 5,000 men, not including women and children, and they sit down in groups of 50. Enter the story. Are you in the front 50 or the back 50? Are you worried if you'll get something to eat? Will there be enough? Here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to the back of the line. I want to be there when there's enough left over for me, even me. This is a foretaste of the Last Supper when Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, and breaks it. Most likely, Jesus prays the same prayer at the blessing of the 5 loaves and bread as he did at the Last Supper. Please, please do not miss that Jesus looks to heaven and blesses the bread. What a good reminder that we need to lift our eyes to heaven and realize that our help comes from the Lord, like in Psalm 121. We lift our eyes to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the one who makes the mountains, the heavens and the earth. Lift your eyes higher. Look to the Lord, the creator of the universe. Our store may be too small, but God's store is not small at all. Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and he gave the traditional blessing preserved in the Mishnah called Baruch Alta Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamoshi Lechem Min Haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings bread forth from the earth. Can you imagine how it sounded when a thunderous 5,000 crowd of voices shouted out, "Amen"? After Jesus broke the bread and the fishes into pieces, he gave. Literally, he kept giving. Jesus gave and he kept on giving to the disciples and the crowd. Jesus has unlimited power. Jesus kept producing the bread and fish in his hands by the supernatural power of God until all were fed. I love this story. Jesus tests the faith of his disciples and then orders up a feeding frenzy. Scholars believe that close to 10,000 people were fed that day. Faith tested, feeding frenzy follows. This reminds me that we would take our family to the Lake of the Ozarks every summer for vacation. There was a restaurant along the lake called the Ozark Barbecue, and outside the restaurant was a boat dock with hundreds of fish would gather to be fed. Our children would put their quarter in the little fish food dispenser. It looked like a gumball machine, and the children would get their little hands full of little fish nuggets, and they'd throw them into the lake, and the fish would go crazy trying to get the food. It was a fish food frenzy. Listen to the word. It says that when they all had eaten, they were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. So what? Is Christ sufficient to meet your needs? Does Christ satisfy you? Is faith in Christ sufficient enough for you to live on? Is faith in Christ all you need to be satisfied? In 2018, Harvard Business School undertook a first-of-a-kind study of over 4,000 millionaires in the United States, asking them about how much money it would take to make them happy. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you were on that study. Each millionaire was asked to report how much they currently had, how happy they were on a scale of 1 to 10, and then how much money they thought they would need to get to be a 10 on the happiness scale. Shockingly, 26%, the largest response, was assigned to 10 times more, which was the largest possible option given. 24% chose 5 times more, followed by 23% at 2 times more. Only 13% of the respondents said they were currently happy with the millions of dollars that they had. Perhaps most surprising of all, this answer was consistent no matter how much money a person had. They still wanted more. This means that someone with 100 million was just as likely as the person with 10 million to select that they needed 10 times the amount of money to be truly happy. In an interview with The Atlantic, lead researcher Michael Norton suggested the problem for so many millionaires is not money, but comparison. Listen and hear these words. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. Are you hungry? Are you satisfied with yourself, your possessions, your wealth, your health, your television, your computer, your job, your retirement? Are you hungry for more? In 1994, God called me into seminary. My wife and I left all we knew. Those 3 years, we dubbed them not the seminary, but the cemetery. We had to die to ourselves so that when the things that we wanted, then the seminary gave us a new home, a church, and a church family. The Beatitudes said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled and satisfied." As we journey to the cross, don't miss the empty tomb. Jesus is alive. Jesus still teaches. Jesus still heals. Jesus still feeds us. Your so what for today is extremely hard. Do not answer it all at once. Think about it. Think about it. Am I satisfied with the bread of life, or do I need more? Am I satisfied with following Jesus, or do I want more to follow in the world? 1, Jesus is welcoming. 2, Jesus is sufficient. 3, Jesus is satisfying. They all ate and were satisfied. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, may we be satisfied in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.